Last week that we talked about this, very briefly, we went through chapter 4, and we saw, of course, a revelation from God out of heaven. God upon the throne, the Son of God was there. We saw the 12 tribes of Israel, or the patriarchs, and the 24 elders, and the apostles of the Lamb, symbolizing, although they were the elders of Israel, showing us the elect, the elders of Israel are there. And we had the 12 apostles, and that's who they were. But it also shows us the ministry today. And in both, we see the elect of God, both in the militant church and the world in entirety. We saw that, and we saw glory being given in verse 8 to the Son of God. For He is Lord God Almighty. He is there in the presence of the Father and the Holy Ghost. God hath exalted the man, Jesus Christ. And all praise and glory and honor unto Him. Now, with this same text of what John sees carrying forward in this revelation of the finished work of Jesus Christ and the glory of God in Christ, we begin chapter 5. I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. Whew, Lord help me. Sealed with 7 seals. I'm going to try to be very slow and methodical with this. Isaiah 59:16. Making a point of the right hand of God. God looking. Judah is all that's left. Israel is gone. He's prophesying. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Now, I'm going to come back to that probably in a little bit. But I want you to understand, when we read about in the right hand of God, Christ is the right hand of God. He's the power of God. The right hand symbolizes power. We're going to talk more about power in just a moment, I hope. This is God upon the throne. This book is in His right hand. This book is in the power of God. And wisdom and everything else that God is. But the text is manifesting this book, and that's important, is in the power of God. We have to realize the power of the finished work of the Son of God. The man, Jesus Christ, the Christ of God. His power. That power keeps this book. That power holds all things together. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book. This is not a book like we would call a Bible or any other book written of man, but it's the Bible I use because it's inspired of God. It's not square, it's not flat, it's a roll. Those days, they were done in scrolls, parchments. They would write on one side, and they would roll it together, and they would seal it. This book is a scroll. This is what's revealed to John. We'll clarify in a moment, hopefully. It was written within, on the fronts of the pages, and on the backside. This book is so powerful. This book is so strong. This book is so glorious, for all things are to declare the glory of Christ, the Christ of God. This book is written within and without, on the inside and on the outside, on the front of the pages and on the backs of the pages. It's crammed slap full, to use a southern expression. There's no more room to write anything. This is in the power of God and the wisdom of God. And the purpose of God in Jesus Christ. and it's sealed. It is completely sealed. You can't open it. It's sealed. You can't see what's in there. It's sealed. You can't understand. You can't comprehend. It's sealed. It's never been seen before. It's sealed with seven seals. Seven is a number of completeness. It is completely sealed. No one other than, let me say it this way, no one created has ever seen what is in this book of these scrolls written within and without the power and glory of the Christ of God. John said he saw that. He's on the throne of God. This is God. And I saw a strong angel. Speculation who the angel is does not matter. If God intended us to know, it would be in the Bible. It is not. Jews say there were four they had, Michael being one, Gabriel the other. Does not matter. This book is not about Michael or Gabriel or any other angel or any pastor, any preacher, any teacher, any evangelist, any apostle, any prophet. It's not about Moses. It's not about Abraham. It's not about Adam. It's about the Christ of God. His name is not given for that purpose. And I saw a strong angel. He's strong. He's mighty in the power of God. Proclaiming with a loud voice that it can be heard and that it would declare in its volume the power of Almighty God in Christ. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. Gabriel was the messenger. That's why some think Gabriel. But again, it does not say. But this strong angel is proclaiming with a loud voice. He's not asking a question. He's actually making a statement. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who's worthy? Who is worthy to open this book? Reading theologians, some believe this book refers to the gospel of God. I disagree. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Some believe it refers to the book of Revelation. I disagree, and I'll tell you why now. One cannot understand the gospel until he's born of the Spirit of God. One cannot understand Revelation because unless he is born of God. Life must precede action. The dead cannot hear. They do not hunger and thirst after righteousness. They are dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, this book, I full well believe and am convinced, is the book of life, which is in the hand of God. For Christ paid our sin debt, and that's what this book is about. Christ paying our sin debt. I'm speaking specifically the fifth chapter of Revelation. I'm speaking of the book of Revelation. I'm speaking of the entire scripture. That we were in rebellion to God and Christ saved us from our sins. He paid our sin debt and hath given us life. Therefore, we are enabled to hear the gospel and understand in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and have comfort in this world. And more importantly, give glory as we see they do to the Son of the living God, the man Jesus Christ. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? It is a question, but it is a statement. Because he's making the point that there's none, no, not one. Going back to Isaiah where I read earlier, there was none to help. There was no man. Christ came to the cross. He was alone. His own disciples forsook him and fled. He was alone. Who's worthy to open the book? No man could open that book. No man can preach. No man can teach you the things of God. No man can see God. No man can give you life or quicken you or lead you. It all is in God. Now God uses men as vessels to preach and teach and lead you in righteousness. But that bears my point also. Life must come first and the call of God. But he's making the point, who is worthy to open the book of life? Because we're all dead. There were none that doeth righteous. No, not one. There were none that sought after God. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Let me give you another idea about the seals. Well, not an idea, but a fact. At that day and age, to give you a forethought of where we're going, in that day and age, when a will, see where we're going? Where a will was written, it was sealed with seven seals. It would stay sealed until the person whose will it was died. And then the seals would be loosed. Won't find it in Hebrews 8, it's in Hebrews 9. Let me give you a text regarding a will. Let me give you a text regarding to a picture of what we're looking at as it agrees in Revelation. I'll start with verse 26 of Hebrews 9, speaking of Christ suffering, going into the holy places made with hands, the figures of the true. Verse 26 says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." But now what? That's not what I'm looking for. Here we go. I'm in a different Bible. It's on that page there. Oh, 15, 9:15. I'll go along with that and I'll finish it. With that text, once the end of the world, after he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's talking about Christ, the Lamb of God. Now back to 15. God knows better than I do. And for this cause, his suffering, his death, he is the mediator of the New Testament. That by means of death, catch that, by means of death, comma, for the redemption of the transgressors, transgressions, redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, under the law that God gave to Moses. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The law is not made for the righteous. A man that does not speed does not need to fear a speeding ticket. A man that does not kill someone does not have to fear the death penalty, okay? It's made for the ungodly. And we were all ungodly. We were all in sin. Even God's children. We were all as vile as one as the other. He died for the transgressions that were under the first testament, under the law. We're convicted by the word of God, the law, stated, plain and simple, they which are called, he said, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death or redemption of the transgressions that run to the New Testament, First Testament, they which are called, who does he call? Those he foreknew, those he predestinated, Romans 8, his people, he would save his people from their sins, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Here's my point. For where the testament is, this is the testament, it's in the blood of Christ. This is my blood, the New Testament. We had communion a week or so back. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. The will is not applied, it's not opened, it's not unsealed, until he who made the will, in this case the covenant, has died. Christ laid his life down for us. The seals are loosed. For a testament is a force after men are dead. This is Christ. God cannot die. But the man, Jesus Christ, laid his life down. Why God was made flesh. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. It talks about Moses sprinkling everything. And then verse 20 says, this is the blood of the New Testament. Not the old, but the new, which God hath joined unto you. Now, the seals of the will are opened. It is revealed unto us, the heirs of Christ. The book which was completely sealed is going to be opened. And no man in heaven, no one who's died and their spirit ascended to Christ, who sits at the right hand of the majesty on high, no angel, no creature, period, creature, nothing God made. In heaven, the cherubs, the seraphims, the angels can open this book. Nor any man in the earth, nor in earth. No living man, no preacher, no deacon, no Sunday school teacher, no choir director, no praise and worship team leader. Nobody can open this book in earth, neither under the earth. Not even none of those who were dead and their bodies in the ground, as David, whose body is in the sepulcher. None of them is able to open the book of life. No man could do it. That's why he said, mine own arm hath brought salvation. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. Catch this. Neither to look thereon. We're not able to even look at it without Christ. John said, we can't have the knowledge, we can't have the understanding without Christ. And I wept much. Here's this Jew in the island of Patmos, an apostle of the Lamb, being persecuted, seeing God upon his throne, Revelation 4, knowing the finished work of Jesus Christ, having this revelation, with a full understanding that no man, woman, child, nor any created thing can open this book. And I, John, wept much. What a sorrow. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Not even allowed to look at it. This brings back to Zechariah, I believe 12:10, if my dyslexia is not acting up, where it said, I'll pour upon the city of Jerusalem, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn as one mourneth for an only son. When God reveals unto you the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that nobody's able to open this book, that we don't have a right to even look at it, we're so far away from God in our very nature. And you see Christ lifted high upon the cross, and you see the sufferings of his body. You see the anguish in his soul. You see his body stretched out with the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet, the crown of thorns upon his head, the stripes upon his back, by which we are healed. You're going to weep because you're going to realize your depravity. And brethren, at that time, you're going to know that your salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, nor to look thereon. John wept. And one of the elders saith unto me, again, doesn't matter who this elder is, I'm not going to spend time on that, I don't have enough time now. But I will say this, 4:20 elders, which one did it? Don't know. Doesn't matter. It's about Christ. One of the elders saith unto me, here's what a preacher's supposed to do. We're supposed to preach unto you. Comfort ye, my people. What do we preach? Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you and for me. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Don't cry, John. Weep not. Behold, oh, here we go. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Lord, how I love this. Help me to preach it. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. I was reading this last night about midnight, which actually was 11 o'clock, I guess, by the time change. Makes it hard to sleep thinking about this. So busy, so joyful, so happy. Genesis 49, verse 8, Jacob has called the patriarchs unto him. He is giving them their blessing. Read the prophecy of the Son of God. Judah, the tribe of Judah, the word means praise. The name means praise. Get an idea who he's talking about? Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Who do we praise? We praise Jesus Christ, who came from the lineage of David, who came from the tribe of Jerusalem. We praise Christ. We praise nothing but through Christ, and through Him we worship the Godhead. Because God hath exalted Him above all other things. I'm not saying we don't praise God. But when we praise Christ, we praise the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All things are in His name. He's the head of the body. He's the head of all things. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Well, I can tell you about that after 25 years of police work. What does that mean? That means you've got him by the neck. You've got him controlled. You understand what he's saying, that Christ's hand will be the neck of his enemies. This does not sound like the weak, feeble Christ begging for help that the world teaches, does it? This sounds like the creator of heaven and earth. This sounds like the power of God. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. He's got them by the throat. His enemies, Satan, the natural man, death, all of it. Thy father's children, the sons of God, the elect of God, shall bow down before thee. We bow before him spiritually, and yes, we bow before him sometimes physically. I've been sitting and reading before, and I'm saying this to tell you how God moves upon you and what God can do. I've been sitting reading before and weeping in my heart that Christ died for me. And before you know it, you're on your face on the living room floor crying out to God in praise. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Every child of God, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, having God revealed unto them in Jesus Christ, bows before the feet of the Father. Oh, Satan tries to hinder that. But he's got Satan by the neck. You remember that. Judah, verse 9, Genesis 49. Judah is a lion's whelp. A lion's cub. A lion's young cub. Judah. From the prey, comma, my son, comma, thou art gone up. Jacob is talking to his son Judah. He's prophesying of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The lion's whelp. He would come from the tribe of Judah. He would come in the lineage of David. Psalm 89, I believe. Let me find it. Verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. That means rest. There's nothing else to be said. The point I'm making is that God called David. God chose David, the eighth son of the Ephraimite Jesse. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David. God called David, anointed him king over his people, promised him that upon his throne, his seed would sit as long as there was a nation physical. In that time period when they reigned, there was a seed of David. And now, after all that was gone, the true seed of David, the true King of Kings, as he sits upon the throne of David, again back to Luke 1, the Holy Spirit would rest upon Mary, the thing which she bore, that's what the Bible says, that holy thing would be called the Son of God, and the Lord God would give unto him the Christ of God, the man, we're men, flesh and blood, the man, Jesus Christ, who laid down his flesh and blood and raised it up again, that God would give unto him the throne of his father David, and he would reign over the house of Israel forever. The man, Jesus Christ, from the lineage of David. Judah's lions went up from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He laid his life down. He couched as a lion. Oh, that was not a defeat. You read the second Psalm, how the Jewish leaders and Pilate and Herod rebelled against God. And how he stooped down. He stooped down. That's not in being defeated. You ever seen a cat? I've never seen a lion, but I watch my cats and I watch all these stray cats wandering around. Before they're about to attack, before they're about to devour the prey, they stoop. They squat. You watch a cat, he'll sit there and shake while he's stooping. Waiting for the moment. Waiting for the moment. Think about the past of Christ. When he would devour the prey, he stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, in fact, everlasting. The scepter, that's the government, the rule, shall not depart from Judah. This is speaking of the religious service, as we would call it. Nor a lawgiver, Levitical priesthood, from between his feet, Judah's, until Shiloh come. The law reigned over God's children until Shiloh come. Shiloh means the peace of God. Is it not in Christ? Catch this. And unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will gather all men unto me. Who are all the men? All the elect of God. And unto him, Christ, shall the gathering of the people be. He gathers us by his Spirit. Binding his foal under the vine, Zechariah 9, Christ riding in Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of an ass. Not the donkey, the ass itself, the jackass, but the foal of it. It's never been ridden before. Why is that? Because no man could ride that colt. It had to be done of the Lord only. Binding his foal on the vine, his ass's colt on the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, blood, and his clothes in the grapes. Blood of grapes, blood. His eyes shall be red with wine, the blood judgment of God, and his teeth white with milk, the righteousness of God. Now, where was I? And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to give you life, to open the book, which is in the right hand, verse 1, of God. I have graven thee upon the palm of my hand. My sheep are in my Father's hand. They are in my hand. No man can take them out, and no man could open this book. But to all those that are written in the Lamb's book of life from when before the foundation of the world, election of grace. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. Here is Christ, and to loose the seven seals. We'll go through some of this as we go through the book, if we are blessed of God to finish it. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, there inside, there with, there present all around. And of the four beasts, remember the four beasts represent the seraphims that are around the throne of God, the ministry today. There are seraphims in heaven. Did Isaiah last week, chapter 6, around his head, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That's a picture of the ministry of in the world. In the midst, Christ is there. And in the midst of the elders, the apostles, the church, and the elect of God. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Let that sink in. Christ stands with us always. All the time. He cannot leave us. He cannot forsake us. Whether we're doing right, whether we're doing wrong, whether we're in obedience, or whether we're in rebellion, suffering wrath and chastisement, which is an act of love and mercy, Christ always stands with us. Stood a lamb as it had been slain. The Lamb of God, 1 Peter 1, some around verse 18, not turning to it, just going to butcher it and try to tell you what it says. For you know that you're not redeemed, this is just paraphrasing, with silver and gold, received by tradition from your fathers, the Jewish priesthood, Levitical priesthood, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Remember, He's the testator who had to die. You're redeemed with His blood. For there's no remission of sins without shedding of blood. My sin will not atone. My blood will not atone for my sin. Christ atones for all the Father gave Him. The Lamb, as it had been slain, holes in His hands, holes in His feet, and a hole in His side. It's in the midst of the throne. Christ is there. Stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns. A horn represents power. Seven represents complete. The absolute, complete power of God. The sovereignty of God. The providence of God. All that is in the Godhead. There in Christ. One Spirit. Seven attributes. Remember, everything of God, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. People say we need revival. We need revival. Yes, we do. Putting a sign out front said, come get saved, ain't going to do nothing. Having meetings trying to get people to come to the Lord, ain't going to do nothing. The Lord adds daily such as should be saved. I'm not saying we should not meet, but we should meet and worship and praise. Everything is in the hand of the Lamb of God. The Lord adds daily. We do need to be teaching. We do need to be meeting. We do need to be preaching and teaching the Word of God, giving glory to the Lamb of God. Who, as we're going to see in verse 7, came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. Micah 5:2 says something like this, and about Bethlehem, Ephrata, where Christ was born. Though thou be little among the thousands of Israel, yet out of thee, where was Christ born? Bethlehem. Shall He, Christ, come forth unto me, the Father, who should be the ruler in Israel. That teaches me that Christ came into the world as the Lamb of God, that He offered Himself as a sacrifice to God the Father. He didn't offer Himself to you. He didn't offer Himself unto me. He didn't offer himself unto the church. He offered himself to the Father for the sins of all the children of God. I can say it again, all the Father gave him. Let me say it this way today. Since we cannot know God, we cannot see God, we cannot love God unless He enables us to, because He loved us first. Therefore, everyone that loves God, He died for, period. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. Christ took that book of life out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb of God. Again, when the Son of Man shall appear in His glory, we shall see Him as He is. He'll be there in His glory. We will fall before Him. We will worship Him. We will love Him. We will see more, know more, feel more of His presence and fellowship and love and dwell with Him forever. How precious will that be? They fell down before the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the man. The man, all God, having every one of them harps, this represents the sweet song of praise we sing to Him, and golden vials full of odors, the incense, the burnings of the priesthood and the law, pointing to the sweet smell and sacrifice of Christ, pointing to the sweet smell and savor of the worship of the sons of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit within you cries out, Abba, Father, Father, Father. The slave cries out, Abba, Father. We're not slaves of the law anymore. We're held in bondage of grace. But my point in all of that in saying that is this, that when we pray to God, when we praise God, when we seek God, it's a sweet smell of savor to the Lord God in heaven who loved us and chose us and saved us in His blood, in His only begotten Son. And in that He's praised, which are the prayers of the saints. And I'll keep looking at the clock because I'm afraid I'm going to run out of time. Pray for me. And they sung a new song. A new song. This is not the song of Moses. And that was a beautiful song. But listen to this song. This is what we sing. This is what we preach. This is what we teach in the church. Thou art worthy. Who? Christ. None else. To take the book of life. And to open the seals thereof. He opened it. He gave us life. He paid our sin debt. His will has been opened. He's died and laid His life down. He's raised it up again. The will is opened. The will is revealed. We have an inheritance of Him in heaven and immortal glory. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain. Laid His life down. And hast redeemed us. Who is us? Every child of God. To God. Christ redeemed us to God. That means He bought us back. He paid our sin debt. By Thy blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Song we sang. Now let's see who He's talking to. Well, that's just Israel. Rightly divide the word of truth. The Israel of God is not the Israel of the Old Testament, which is a physical nation. The Israel of God is the Israel of the New Testament, which is spiritual. And has redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred. Do you catch that? That tells me that every family line and lineage, bloodline of people, you see them recorded in the Bible. Somebody begot, somebody begot, somebody begot. That's a bloodline. Every single kindred, none left out, has a people that God loves, that God saved. Every kindred. From beginning of creation to the end of time. Every kindred. Let that sink in. Every tongue. We speak a variation of the King's English. There are tongues in Mexico, used to be Native American Indian. Now they're mixed with Spanish. There's French, there's Chinese, there's Japanese, there's Russian, all the tongues on the face of the earth. Many where the church is not at. Some even where the church has never been. That kind of tears up the doctrine of gospel regeneration. People who never have heard the gospel, does that mean they're bound to hell? God forbid. If they're a child of God, their inheritance is sure with Christ. Every tongue. There are tongues that were once spoken, languages that are not spoken today and haven't been for years. Yet God had a people out of that tongue, because every kindred and every tongue and every people, every race, every gender, every nation, God has a people from among them, and people and nation. That will cover everything that everyone that the Father gave to the Son. If we leave it to preaching the gospel, then those in Africa that died, those in France that died, although France has had a church longer than some areas, all those up that were Native Americans before the gospel came here with our English-speaking fathers, they never heard the gospel. Some people put them in the fires of hell. What does the Bible teach us? God had a people among them. The gospel had nothing to do with giving them life. God reveals the gospel to those He has given life, to call them into the obtaining of the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Thou hast redeemed us to God. This is why they're praising Him. This is that new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, You died for us, You redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. Period. That covers all of what's listed. And hath made us, these people He's talking about, unto our God, kings and priests. Revelation 1, He's made us kings and priests unto God. Peter says the same thing. We're made kings because we reign over sin and death. We're priests because we worship God by His grace, both. The two are different offices. They did not come together. Already mentioned the Dark Ages and how the religion and government came together and how dark it was. Dark Ages is the reason. The two do not come together except in Christ, who is our King and our priest. And through Him, He's made us kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. It's a good thing I don't reign on the earth. Josh says, Dad, you're like an old school Presbyterian. They didn't like somebody. They just had war with them. Well, that's about human nature. But the Lord reigns in heaven and earth. We reign on the earth over sin and death. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels, millions, round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. Can you count that? God told Abraham, as the sands of the seashore and as the stars of the sky, so shall thy seed be. There are so many that can't be counted, and there's more that we cannot even see. Stars in heaven and sands under the sand that's on top. We can't number that, but God sees them all. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Saying with a loud voice, praising the Lamb of God. Let me move. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." If you ever hear me get up here and tell you something I have done that's good, or something I've contributed that's good, or to go see some man to get something like salvation, or I need your money to go save somebody, or any other blasphemous practice or teaching that gives, that tries to shame the power and the wisdom of the Lamb of God, then you set me down and push me out that door. This is what I pray you always hear from me by God's grace. Worthy is the Lamb. It's not me. It's not you. It's not the church. It's not the nation. It's not the army. It's the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Brethren, He laid His life down for you. Put your name there. Do you love Him? Put your name there. That's why the voice is loud. It's in excitement. It's in boldness. It's daring. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. The power of the Godhead. The man, Jesus Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself to death. God hath raised him up. He now sits at the right hand of the majesty on high, King of kings and Lord of lords. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches. First of all, He became poor for our sakes. Son of man hath not where to lay his head. He set aside the glory of the Godhead, walked in the body of a man, laid down His life for us, raised it up again. He shed His blood to save us from our sins. He's in heaven. The glory, return unto me now, O Father, the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. The glory He has. The riches, the strength, the wisdom, power, all things. Wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. The man, Jesus Christ, in flesh of the seed of David, is worthy of all these things. And every creature, Lord, I hasten the day. What's the last words of the book? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And every creature which is in heaven above, dead and gone with Christ, all the angels, all the seraphims, all the cherubs, everything God created by the millions in heaven in immortal glory, which surround His throne and give praise, honor, and glory unto the Son of God. In heaven and on earth, every born again child of God. Used to be a thing back in the 70s. You must be born again. Let me tell you something. I didn't have any choice of being born of my mother, and I don't have any choice of being born of God. It's a true statement. You must be born of God, but take it for what it says and rightly divide the word of truth. God borns you of the Spirit, period. Every creature of God in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. Let's catch that. When I preach a child's funeral, I have to go to Isaiah. I think it's 57. The righteous perisheth, none lay it to heart. You go on down that scripture, two or three verses, you see where their body is at rest in their bed. The body's asleep in the ground. But they are walking upright in righteousness. How is that possible? Because the body goes to sleep, it goes to the ground. The wages of sin, and the Spirit is immediately with Christ above, walking in righteousness. Everything under the ground. Every child of God dead, whose body is in the ground, under the earth. Such as they're in the sea. I don't care if you say the sea of time, or the sea being the ocean. It doesn't matter if it's lost in the ocean, been eaten of a fish. God will raise it up one day. But if they're dead, they're spirits of Christ. And all that are in them heard I saying, The wicked don't say this. These are the children of God. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Do you want to know why we're assembled to worship? This is what we need to be doing. This is what we need to be saying. This is what we need to be teaching God's people in the world. It's in the gospel. It brings life and immortality to light. Does not give life, brings it to light. Calls you unto the power of God in obtaining the glory and being a disciple of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is what we're here to do, is worship. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth on the throne. And unto the Lamb forever and ever. I'm 61 years old, be 62 come March. I'm tired of this place, Lord, I am. Forever and ever to me might be a year, might be a day, might be 10 more years. My daddy's 83. As far as time goes, we have a very short time, even though it seems long to us sometimes. But this ever and ever goes way past our years as creatures in this world. It goes into the realm of eternity where we cannot even begin to understand. No beginning, no end, now, present tense, as it is forever and ever will He be praised, for He is worthy. And the four beasts, the ministry, said, Amen. Declaration. Amen. And the 24 elders fell down. The four beasts representing the ministry, remember. And the 24 elders, the elect of God and the New Testament militant church, fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. May we forever, as long as we live in this world. I'm not worried about heaven. There's no influence of Satan in heaven. There's no sin. There's no death. There's no rebellion against our God who loves us, causes us to mourn. We need, while we live in this world, to worship Christ. We need to stay focused as we walk on truth. What is that truth? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and His glory.